This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Somebody said, rah, rah, rah. Hello, beautiful people.
Hello, beautiful people.
Hello, beautiful people.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, beautiful people. My name is V. George Smith. Welcome back to a brand new edition of the Hello, Beautiful People podcast. Listen, people, this is a special, special episode. I have some friends here that I want to introduce you to. I want to present to some and introduce to others. But before we do that, we want to thank you so much for checking us out. Last week, we appreciate you, y'all. We appreciate you. We're creeping up on that episode 200. I don't know what we're gonna do for the show. I got some ideas. Might do a live show with the locals. Might do a video show. I don't know. We'll figure out something for y'all and make it special. But first and foremost, we got Corey Reed here. For me, what's going on, Reed?
Good evening, beloveds. I'm sorry. He's not here. He's not here yet. I was just trying to. What up, though?
Chilling, man. If you had to give a winner, because we're gonna talk about this eventually. Not too much tonight. But since the Saints are probably thinking they was going to hear something about it, if you had to give a winner, off the top of your head, if you had to pick a winner, Cat Williams and Kevin Hart, who you got?
What are we talking about?
Sorry. That's not what everybody's talking about. If you had to pick a winner, Kendrick or Drake?
It's not over yet. I feel like there's songs still need to drop. Before Saturday, I had Kendrick up, and that's only because of the volume of songs that were coming out. The content didn't necessarily be like, oh, well, because he's repeating the same stuff now. He's just going deeper into the same stuff. But I'm going to give the fans one, George.
There you go. The culture one.
The fans.
We'll dive deeper in this too in a later podcast. I'll just say this. Y'all just not going to tell me that a nigga whose dad is from Memphis and who got a bunch of Jamaican friends that he's not black, that don't make sense to me. But we'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it later. Tonight is a very special episode. I got some wonderful friends with me tonight. And we wanted to do a special show for y'all because I started to notice something. I have some very talented friends that are doing some really cool things. And we wanna shout them out. We wanna show them some love. And two of them are here right now. Others are on the way. This show is about supporting vocalists, background singers. And I'm going to let you tell them of your favorite artists who they've sang for in the past and into the present now. First, I'd like to introduce you to Courtney Mariah, a.k.a. Court Sings. Courtney.
Hey, greetings and salutations.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm amazing. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Twinkie says hello. You would have to be in the room. Oh man, so glad to have you on the show. And ladies and
Thank you
gentlemen,
so much.
my good friend, Mother Elliot, Dee Dee.
What's up, y'all?
Dee Dee Elliot is here. What's going on, lady?
Okay.
How are you?
I am sleep deprived, but I'm great.
Awesome. So glad that you are here with us tonight. Listen, we're going to get right into it. If you could, Dee Dee, and then Corey, you can go after. Dee Dee, could you give the Saints, the wonderful citizens of the Hello Beautiful People podcast, give them a rundown of the artists that you have sang for?
Oh, my God. Geez. I have worked with Kirk Franklin, Myron Butler, T.D. Jakes, Justin Bieber, Demi Lovato, Tyrese, Tori Kelly. Who else? You know,
man,
it's been a long time. It's been
you can cliff notes it.
It's been a long time, but the ones that I've listed are amongst my faves, though. So I've definitely been blessed for sure.
Awesome, awesome, Courtney.
All right. Here. Listen, my list is nowhere near as long as Dee Dee's, okay? She's a vet in the game. I have sang with Dr. Ron Canole, Lettucey, Kurt Carr, Anthony Hamilton, and Neo.
That's a list, girl. Don't you sell yourself short. That is yet a list. ladies and gentlemen, Kaisha Blackstone is back on the podcast. Kaisha, are you ready to speak, friend?
I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
And we can hear you loud and clear this time, huh?
Come on. I love it. Awesome.
Awesome, awesome. Kaisha, we got Courtney. We got Dee Dee here. We got Corey.
Hey.
Here.
Hey, guys.
Hey, hey.
Hi.
Booty ho.
So what we were doing, we were just asking you guys to just go over if a Cliff Notes version, if you, an abridged version, if you have to, of who you've sang background for so far in your illustrious careers. So it's on you.
Oh, it's on me. Okay. So I have sang background for a lot of gospel artists for, you know, like events, but for touring, I started singing years ago with an artist named Vivianne Green, R&B artist. I then went on to do a tour overseas with a German artist, which was a really fun experience. I sang with I guess he is a pop, rock R&B artist. He kind of does everything, Mike Posner. I did that for a while. And then I did pop artist Demi Lovato. So I've hit a bunch of different genres. And fun.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So as you see, it's a very versatile group here.
Hold on, George. Hold on, George. You didn't let me give my list. I'm sorry. You just
I was going right past me. Go ahead, Corey.
So I got the Korean Mass Choir at Canal Street. There was the Chicago Southside Shooters, but only on 25th side. I got James Cleveland.
James, you sang Cleveland. Background for James Cleveland.
I sang James Cleveland. I did some singing for James Cleveland.
Whoa.
I'm trying to think because the list is so extensive, George.
Oh man.
I sang outside Barclays when Chris Brown came one time, so I count
Okay.
that. That's on my list.
A gig is a
And
gig.
yeah, that's on my list. That counts. And I'm part of the Traveling Infinity Mass Choir. So we go around the world and we sing a bunch of times, but this ain't about me tonight. You got a whole bunch of other esteemed singers on here, and I'm just glad to be here to talk to these ladies.
I tell you, the bridge cliff notes list. You the Infinity Singers, they don't stop singing ever. My goodness. Ladies and gentlemen,
ever.
Greg Johnson is also here, a member of the podcast. He'll have some questions for these wonderful ladies as well. What's going on, Greg? How you doing, brother?
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Oh, hold on, George. My friend was talking. Hey, sis, how are you?
Oh, man, come on.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Let's see. Didi, is that Darian Elliott? You don't
yes,
know me,
indeed.
But I know who you are. Okay, and Miss Corey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Nice to meet you all. Corey.
You already greeted Corey.
Put some respect on that. It's the Corey Reed. When you're addressing me, Greg.
All right,
yes,
fellas.
Sir.
Question, Corey. What you got? What you got for the ladies, Corey?
All right. So this is the show you told me to get my sex questions together for, right? Or
no,
it's different. No.
No, that's a different podcast.
Yeah. No, I didn't want to show up for that.
No,
bad.
Corey.
My bad. All right, let me. I had the wrong set of questions up.
Yeah.
No, but in all seriousness, please, ladies, everything I ask is coming from a completely ignorant perspective because I know nothing. I'm not a musician. Like I said, the Infinity Travelers, we only get together in parking lots, so we don't have that much experience, but. I did want to ask you all, how did you get into BGVs, if I can use that term? Am I saying that right, George? BGVs?
Yeah, it is.
That's what they call them?
Yes, it is.
Okay. How did you all get into background singing? Because it's only going to open up more questions and more questions, but that's just a soft starting point. Is how did you guys get started with backgrounds?
Who's going first?
There you go. You got it.
I think for me, I grew up in a singing family. My mom and all of her siblings, my mom is one of 14. And in amongst her brothers and sisters, you either had to sing or play an instrument. My grandfather was very strict about that. So my grandfather started teaching me how to blend when I was like, 4 or 5, because I started singing like for real solo songs at church when I was 3. And so wow. I've always had an appreciation for what goes on in the background. I've never actually aspired to be a lead singer at all, but it's just something that I know how to do. But if you ever gave me the choice of whether I wanted to sing lead or sing background, I'm always going to choose background. So when I was a teenager, we moved from California to Dallas because my parents wanted to be a part of the Potter's House. And anybody that has sang on the praise team at the Potter's House knows that it is a BGV clinic every single day. They teach you the art of blending. They teach you the art of give and take per se when it comes down to vocals. So I kind of started that way. And then from there met Myron, because he was over the praise team at a specific time. And once I got to be friends with some of his singers, he asked me to come to the studio. And then from then on, people just started like requesting me from there. I was at a studio session with Myron. Kirk saw me. He actually heard me. I was the only alto in the session. He heard me sing it. And then he came up to me and he was like,
why don't I know you? And me just kind of the personality that I have, I was just like, I don't know. And then he asked me to, come to the studio, and we've been stuck ever since. And that was 11 years ago.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I always get, I tell you, I don't tell you enough. I always get a kick out of listening to a Kirk album and hearing how I know it's you. And everybody has heard sonically, but there's just a, since when you joined, there was a change for me. And I'm like, they go Didi. It's like the sound itself is so, it's so wonderful, and it's so like, it added so much. Like, so I'm a great appreciator of what you do. For those that don't know, Didi sang on my last full album and did it up. Incredible job.
You didn't want her on the track that I did. You gave her one with Ramon, but I ain't mad.
Come on, man.
Go on with the show.
I can't help the one that I gave your track to. It's done going crazy. I can't do nothing about that, Greg. I can't do
next question.
Next question. Come on, Greg, you got a question?
No, wait. I want to hear from the other ones.
I'm sorry. Corey didn't ask a question. I'm sorry. Kaisha, Courtney? Anybody want to go?
I can. Okay. Much like Didi, I got my start just in my family. My parents were a part of a community choir when they were younger. And growing up, myself and my siblings, we had to sing and we had to play an instrument. And my father was a pastor, so me and my siblings were the choir. He pastored a little country church, and the choir was terrible. So he made the existing choir ushers, and we became the choir.
My God. Yes! Demotion in the scene.
He absolutely, he said, you know, my children can handle the music ministry. So, and, you know, again, we had to play an instrument. So in playing instruments, we had to learn theory and all the things. And so doing things outside of the church with school and, you know, chorus and band, orchestra, we became known, myself and my siblings, around the community. And we kind of were our own little singing group. Well, we connected
Court, I'm sorry. Did you say your father's name was Joseph? You said your brothers had to, you had to sing and play instruments? I'm sorry. I'm going to go on mute. I'm sorry.
No, that's funny. It wasn't an option in my household. But so doing that growing up, we connected with other musical people and musical families in the city and the state. And became known doing that. And honestly, I connected with, I'm not sure if you all are familiar with Jason Claiborne. Our families became very close when I was in middle school. And Jason sang with Dr. Cannoli and his sons. He was a part of a group, a gospel rap group called The Righteous Riders, which one of Dr. Cannoli's sons was in. And so when Jason went on tour, he, with Dr. Cannoli, he asked myself and his now wife to go with him, and that's my very first professional background gig. And so, you know, people would see us, and I'll never forget, we were overseas somewhere, and we saw Israel. We were like, oh my God, that's Israel. And he was like, oh my God, y'all sing for Dr. Cannoli? And we were like, but you're Israel. So, you know, kind of one of those things, and people just kind of started to know who I was, and that's how I got every other gig since then.
That's pretty awesome. Courtney is featured on Neo's latest Tiny Desk episode. I was about to call it UPN. Lord help me. NPR, Tiny Desk. NPR, she's definitely featured up there, so check that out if you want to see her. Ladies and gentlemen, the birthday girl has joined us. She's here. Chelsea West has joined us.
Peaches.
Hi, Greg. Hi, everybody.
How are you?
Hey.
I cannot complain. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, you got friends in here.
I do, Dee Dee and everybody. This is exciting.
Yeah, so we already did background singer origin stories, who you sang with, and now yes, that's where I was so far. So you just want to fill in, we need to know your identification, who you sang with so far. It could be an abridged version.
Okay. So like the origin story?
Yeah.
Okay. So I grew up in a musical household. My mother is a recording artist. She had a soul record in the 70s. Her first single went gold. Her father was also a Kojic bishop, which is where the problem came in with her singing non-gospel music. So she eventually walked away from a blossoming and a blooming R&B career to sing gospel music. She married my father and had my sister. Now, she already had two children, my older sister and brother, and she had Candy and I when she married my dad. Mm-hmm. And so her gospel record started when I was about 4 or 5. So my first time singing in a studio harmony with my mom and my sister, I was 5 on her first gospel record. And everything that she did after that, of course, we had to sing background for her. and she raised us being able to sing all parts. She was like a Maddie Moss Clark variation, and she didn't play no games. She was determined that we would sing. I didn't want to. I didn't like being seen. I don't like people looking at me, and she didn't care. So growing up in a Kojic church, we ended up meeting a family by the name of the Seawrights. And the Seawrights had just come over to the Kojic world from, what were they? They were some other denomination, one of them other ones where they was real strict, like you can't wear makeup and no pants and stuff like
apostolic.
That.
Apostolic.
Yeah.
Apostolic of KW?
Yes. They were apostolic.
My God, holding this hell.
Exactly. So they had just come over to Kojic from being apostolic, which is where we met. Come to find out they lived 2 doors down from my grandparents. So at that point, so with the Seawrights, you know, the parents, Linda Seawright and Robert Seawright, and then they had the kids, Robert Seawright Jr., which we all know as Spud, and he had 2 sisters, Robin and Rochella. So Candy and I naturally gravitated to them. So we would go to our grandparents' house just to go to their house. And so they had like a playroom with an organ and drums and the whole thing. And we would play church, and Robin and Rochella, Candy and I would sing together all the time. So when I was like 7 or 8, Miss Seawright started a group called Inspired. And it was like 6 of us. And we were in that group. From there, she started this choir named New Direction with another lady. From New Direction, I wasn't a part of, no, it wasn't called New Direction, that's Chicago. What was this group called? I can't think. But that group ended up spinning off into God's Property. I wasn't a part of the first choir because I was still only like, what, 9, 10. So God's Property formed from there. My sister joined God's Property, and I joined God's Property when I was 11. And so from God's Property, it just became a thing. I didn't realize that doing this could really be a thing until then. But even then, I still didn't understand. I didn't have a concept of how far I could go because I had never really seen it happen before. So my dreams at that point were just kind of all over the place. I knew that there were things I wanted to do, spaces I wanted to occupy. I just didn't really know how I was going to get there. But what we would do is when we were going out to do different, you know, gigs and opportunities or whatever, we would just meet people, shake hands, meet people, make acquaintances. And a lot of times those relationships would turn into work, you know, down the line. And so, yeah, that's just kind of, I think that's that's the origin story of how it all happened. After that, it's just kind of like one person mentions your name in this space, and that turns into this. One person that was very influential, though, in this becoming like a career for me was Myron Butler. From God's Property and the whole Kirk situation, he was the one who continued to call me and use me for things, even outside of you know, Levi Records. He's the reason I was able to do the Marvin Sapp Records, which really kind of helped to solidify, if there's a such thing, my space in the VGV world, I guess, because I'd always kind of been under the shadow of my sister. And that was, no doing of her own. It just kind of happened like that because she was leading, she was out front, so on and so forth. So a lot of times people didn't even realize that I could offer what she could, you know, not what she could offer, but we could do the same jobs just as well, simply because she was the one that was just more visible. But Myra was very instrumental in helping people to see me. So I will always credit him and you know, give him his just due for that portion of my life kind of transitioning from one space to another space where I was taken a bit more seriously.
Awesome. Awesome. And you gave us some of the people that you've sang for. Give us a couple of the most secular.
People. You got Nicki Minaj, you got Brandy, Tyrese, Chrisette Michelle, K Michelle, Snoop, Lucky Day, you have 2 Chainz, Kanye West, Jennifer Hudson, Janet Jackson. I sang on a Celine Dion record, Post Malone. I've sang on a Post Malone record. And I also helped arrange a Post Malone Grammy performance. A lot of people.
All right.
Post Malone. Lana Del Rey. Most recently, Usher, which was like a very big deal for me. And I'm so devastated that we didn't get to share with the world what we were working on. But that was an absolute dream come true for me. But I can be honest, and I don't mean this in a boastful manner in any shape, form, or fashion, but there are not many artists in the industry that I have not been blessed and fortunate enough to work with at this point. Rihanna, I got to do the Oscars with Rihanna. I've done a video with Beyonce. I've done, you know, so it's not many that I haven't worked with at this point. So I don't know, your girl, God has been good to me, and I'm really grateful.
Trying to tell you, Amy. I might have to bust out a praise for that one. Hold on, let me see if I. Hold on.
Is that the homie Peaches? Peaches, what up?
Oh my god!
Is that crazy Negro?
Know who that is.
I can't find none of my good praise videos.
That means just praise from your heart. Just offer up a praise from your heart. I think he's gonna understand.
You'll understand it by and by.
Yes.
Oh man. Kaisha.
I'm here. why you put me behind Peaches? I'm trying to understand that. I'm supposed to follow this resume. Like, what's going on?
Because baby, listen.
Ooh, you want to play the praise? I'll play the praise for you so you don't have to go. Hold on, we play the praise for you. Hold on. I'm gonna get y'all right. We got the praise.
Not to play this praise, to praise from your heart if you're gonna be disobedient. Anyway.
George, no, George.
This is the praise.
Jesus, what's up?
Jesus is what's up.
Oh. Jesus,
I am screaming.
Jesus is what's up. What's up? What's up?
George,
in Jesus'
sometimes
name,
you just gotta praise him, y'all.
George, you keep that to yourself from now.
In Jesus' name.
We have listen. This guy. Wait, hold on. Let me just see if that's the only praise I got. Cause there's more praise.
That's the only praise you got.
Y'all
I'm
sure?
Keon Henderson today.
I should have won,
y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all absolutely sure? Okay. All right, y'all not trying to. Y'all not trying to.
All right, Kaisha. Good.
Thank you for that break. I would say my origin story is very similar. I think we all share like that base root coming up in the church. I've been singing for as long as I can remember in the church. My mom is a singer, and so I just always followed her. You know, she would be singing on the choir from first service to second service. We would go get some food and go to third service, and then we would go over to fourth service, and it's just all day. That's what you do. You sing. And so I just always sang. I always sang throughout school and everything. When I was in college is when I got my first like gig. And my friend from Baltimore, Damian Sneed, who is now a world-renowned musician and composer and director and everything. He was like, "Hey, I'm emptying this singer. I need you to come and sing backgrounds with me." So I was like, "Cool, I'll come and sing backgrounds." It was for Tanya Blount, and we were doing like three shows that she was doing. This is when she was putting out her solo music, and I was doing this at the end of it. After we left, we did a show in DC, and Damien was like, "Here's your checks," because I was leaving. And I was like, "My check? Because I'm in college." And he asked me to sing. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm coming to sing with Tanya Blount. This is amazing." And then he handed me a check. And I was like, "You paying me money for singing, doing something that I've really enjoyed and loved?" And that was like eye-opening for me, you know, because I had seen that, you know, all the different things that music can do, but I had never experienced someone like actually paying me for doing what I love. And you know, and it was singing backgrounds. It wasn't even like I was the lead. So I'm like, "What? Like, this is crazy." So I really enjoyed it. Another artist I did right after that was, well, not too long after that, was Latoya London, who was on Idol. And so then she put out a record, and I did her tour, and I was like, "Man, like," and I was making good money on that tour too. And so then I was like, "Okay, so now it's not just like with big artists, I'm realizing. I'm like, you can like make good money doing things that you love at every level of the game, kind of, as you know, as long as you're, you know, really dedicated to it." So it just started opening up my eyes, and you know, just one thing, just like Peaches said, one thing leads to another, the more that you're out there. And I took breaks in between stuff, and I was doing other stuff. And I think that's a part of people's journey that they sometimes leave out. But like the road of background singing is not always a smooth and upward climb the entire time. So I did stuff in between gigs and in between tours and all that kind of stuff, but always found my way back to it for a long time. So I did backgrounds for about 15 years on and off, and loved it.
Awesome. Those are fascinating stories, y'all. Fascinating stories. Corey?
Yes, I'm telling you that one question and response has triggered a bunch of questions. I do want to ask you all, what's the one gig you thought was going to be it and had to settle for a gig that necessarily not wasn't it? Like you got a call saying, "Oh, we got your next assignment singing gig," and you thought it was going to be the one. And you don't have to give the name of the artist, but you thought it was going to be the one, and it ended up being less than what you expected.
Oh, I'll start. Can I start? My God.
Yes.
Go for it. So there was an
Testify.
artist, one of the one I did name the artist. I won't say who, but I was so excited about this opportunity. I had just moved to the West Coast and was like, "Oh, this is it." And it was not it. And a lot of people love this artist. I particularly do not anymore, but it was one of the worst experiences professionally of my career. It
Put a
was
pin in that.
really
We're gonna come
bad.
back to that. Not that artist, but just that experience. I'm put a pin in that.
I'm laughing because I feel like
You absolutely know. You know, Peaches. My God.
No.
Yeah.
Dang, man. We are not gonna name Chubby Checker on this podcast.
I want to know. Can you put it in the chat? I mean,
yes. Put it in the Zoom chat.
Because now I'm trying to go down the list of people that you said, and I'm like, okay, now wait, who could have given up?
But that's the thing. That's the thing, though, because I try not to talk about it because you know my villain could be someone's hero. You know, well, I don't.
Well, I think a good hint would be the fact that this particular artist held a very hefty audition a couple years ago, which is when Courtney started working with them. And it was a very tedious audition process to begin with. So it's one of those things like you send me through the ringer, do all these things. Okay, cool. I finally got the gig. Yay, let's do it. Then you get just like, wait.
I think
wait.
I know who you're talking about. Hold on.
Because this artist, I also too auditioned for this as well, and they took me through the ringer. They took me through the ringer, and Courtney ended up, you know, booking the job, which I was super duper excited for her, but I was also very disappointed when she shared that her experience was what it was. But people do love this artist, and people love all the artists, you know, and that's the thing about it, like, when you get to work on the other side, you get to see what the average fan will never see. You get to see a part of them, how they move. And for me, it's hard. If I see you in a certain light, like if I've always loved you, you know, like I would say my experience that I thought was going to be, it wasn't, it was with somebody that everybody absolutely adores, right? And I too adored them until I got the chance to work with them. And I saw how just, I don't know if careless would be the word, but we were just completely mishandled in their care. And it just made me look at them different. Like, it's hard for me to love you the same because I had a very unfortunate experience with you. So I had one with somebody that everybody absolutely loves and adores. And I've talked about it in the past. I won't say their name. So if you know, you know. But yeah, sometimes people's favorite or the public's favorite is not so much the favorite behind closed doors with people who really know them.
Wow. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because this artist was someone that I, you know, when I did my little local gigs, I would sing their music and it was just so excited and, you know, get in the room with them and again
it was
a disaster. I was so disappointed, so let down, feelings hurt, and like Peaches said, I was totally mishandled. And it wasn't all on the artist, it was also on the manager, and it was also on the other supporting vocalist who has a large say-so in what goes on. And the singer who was there before me, before this whole audition process happened, I was told after the fact that, you know, she was, you know, kicked out because basically, you know, the whole camp was threatened by her. So, you know, they try to make it like she did something so terribly wrong. And I, to this day, I still don't know all of the facts, but based off my experience, I absolutely believe that she was mishandled the same way I was.
Real quick, I want, for the people that are listening to the show, I want you to pay special attention to how they're handling the question that we gave them. This is also part of the process to being a successful working background singer. Don't tell all your business. I'm sure these experiences were really bad for them. And some people feel like, you know, you get back at people by saying names and stuff like that. Nope. Use your wisdom, use your discretion wisely. There's no need for you guys to say no names. I mean, we gonna find out here because we in the Zoom together. Y'all not gonna find out these things, but I just think it's wise to just handle this kind of stuff in this kind of fashion. So kudos to y'all, but not just like, you know,
can't be no fool.
Busting out the AK and messing up the bread. Like, no, nah, don't do that.
Can't do it.
George, can I ask? Can I ask individual questions? And if the other, ladies feel they would like to answer, can we do that? Like, if I direct questions to certain people.
Sure, yeah. Sir.
Cool.
Yes, sir.
Cool. Dee Dee.
Question for you.
Again, keep in mind, this is coming from the standpoint of somebody who doesn't know. They just show up to the concert or events and say, oh, they got singers. Oh, they got musicians. has there ever been a time where the group you were with made it difficult to sing for the artist? Not as management, like just the actual background singers themselves, did it make it difficult to sing backup for a particular artist?
I'm trying to think of, to me, that's sort of similar to, the situation would sort of be similar to the previous question that you asked, like, you know, has it ever been a time when the gig, you know, didn't turn out the way that it you know, you thought it was? Because for me, and the reason why I'm kind of grouping that together is because, unlike a lot of singers that's working now and traveling and all of that, I came from the straight corporate world. And so I am not what you would consider a creative at all. Like, the way singers like always sing, always want to be surrounded by music, all of that. I don't do any of that at home. Like, when I'm at home, once I leave the gig, I'm done. When I get home, I don't hear music like that unless it's on TV. So my mindset is different. No one can make anything uncomfortable for me, because I will leave. And that's the terrible part, is that I will get my things, get in my car and go home and be like, baby, I don't need none of that, because I keep a corporate situation happening at all times, so that I never have to depend on anything outside of that to work. So yeah, you can, I mean, the people can be ridiculous to deal with if you want to. I'm out of here, bye. Like, I don't deal at all. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe the question can be asked to the other singers that was on the gig with me. Was she uncomfortable to you? Because once I get quiet and I'm no longer paying attention, I'm about to get my keys and go. It's terrible. Pray for me, but that's how I manage. Because at my big age, I don't have time to waste. Being in uncomfortable situations, like, not after I walked off my job to do this, I'm picking and choosing what I put up with and what I don't. But that's me, though. Sorry.
I hear that. Because a lot of it, it's still a people business, regardless of who the artist is, who the name is, who they're working with. It's a people business, right? And the whole idea is that if you aren't personable in this space, then you're in the wrong space. And
what I was gonna say is I've went into situations with an artist who, like everyone else said, you know, people love them. People love their music. I was warned ahead of time, hey, yo, their singers are not super receptive. Okay. Like, they can be territorial, blah, blah, blah. So how I handled that was, I went into the situation being, you know, how I am, you know, I'm going to come speak, I'll introduce myself.
And then after that, if I'm not really feeling like, you know, we're connecting on that level, well, I'm here to do this particular job. And as long as it's not, as long as it's not blatant shades towards me, I can pretty much, you know, deal. But after maybe about two or three gigs, I did have a conversation with one of the singers and was just like, oh, well, yeah, because, you know, I was definitely told not to really get close, you know, because, you know, y'all were just not friendly people. And after kind of putting myself out there, like, look, I don't care nothing about the friendliness. Like, I'm here to do this particular job. If we can be cool, that's going to be amazing. But if we don't, I'll deal for as long as I, you know, as long as I can. And then once I'm done, I'm done. And we never had any issues. We never had any issues after that. Because I think people just know who they can play with and who they can't, you know? Like, if you're used to dealing with, if bullies are used to bullying and no one ever calls them out on their stuff, then they're going to continue to do what they do.
Facts.
But I can't be bullied in that way, you know? So it's funny because the artist that I think Courtney was talking about earlier, I definitely did a session with her and swore up and down, oh, never again, sis. I'll never be back because I'm not about to deal with all this. I literally did that one song and never. And it's actually crazy because one of the other artists that I worked for all the time, they worked with her and after that particular song, and he was just like, yeah, no, we're not going to be able to flow with her anymore. And I was just like, yeah, I had already fired myself from any other session with her after that.
She said, I'm fired.
Miss Blackstone.
Yes.
Did you come to the front of the congregation?
I'm here.
I want to ask, is there typically a management company that, like, so is there typically a management company that will hire background singers so that everybody's dealing with the same management company, or is every individual going in with their own managers or own management and whoever the artist is now dealing with maybe 10 to 12 different management individuals as opposed to one company representing everybody that's there?
There's absolutely not a company that represents singers, musicians like that for most jobs. So my company that me and my husband run, we actually have a lot of singers that we work with that because they're good and because we've worked with them repeatedly, like, you know, it feels like you know, they're a part of our whole thing, you know. But it's really, you know, once you start to work with people and they're good, it's easy to refer the same person because you already know their skill set. So, but there's not a formal type of situation like that in any of these things. Now, if you are with a union and you strictly do union work, then that is a way that you can get regular types of jobs and you technically have representation because that union is going to make sure that you're getting a certain rate, that your hours are tracked, that you're there for a specific amount of time, that you're getting breaks, that if your voice is ended up being used in a different way outside of the original contract, that you're compensated for that. So outside of a union, there's nothing like that for most gigs. There are some background artists that have managers because they're also artists as well. There's a lot of background singers that are artists and have their own projects and their own careers. So yes, they do have managers that make sure that their business is right. But other than that, there's not like a real big company. There are some collectives. I know my good friend, good friends, Monet Guthrie Shelton and Jimmy, they have a collective in the DMV area called Stems Music, right? And so they're all singers and they're on a lot of your favorite gospel projects and a lot of your favorite gospel tours. But again, it's still like that collective vibe and not as much of you're always going to the same person, because artists just change, and artists change over time, and they might like a certain sound for this project, and the next project they're like, I want a totally different sound, and it's a totally different group of people that come in. So that's my nutshell. Sorry, I wish I had a more positive answer.
No, that's a good
That's fine. I was
Okay.
struggling. I was fighting with the mute button.
Okay.
But I'm here. Four.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Yes, sir.
So when your brothers were on tour, right? And no, all right, no, seriously. Give me your may have partied too much the night before a gig, and now I am either hoarse, hungover, or I don't know if I'm gonna make it story, if you got one.
Honestly, well, I'm trying to think. I really don't, because I'll be honest, this is one thing, like singing one, I'm just born to do it, period. But to be in this space, I've always, wanted to be in this space. And small gig or major gig, I try to treat every gig the same. As far as being responsible, making sure that I am in good voice, making sure that I know my stuff. I think the closest I've been to maybe like a big, can I say F up?
Sure, you can. Say it. Go ahead. Go
Well, I'm not gonna say it. I'm
on.
just saying.
My God. Jesus.
With maybe I was on tour with an artist and we had an off day the day before my birthday. The show was on my birthday, and so Ed, the whole team, oh, we're gonna take you out, we're gonna get towed down and all the things. So we would have some drinks and stuff, and I was like, all right, this is it, because if I go any further, I'm gonna be real wrong tomorrow. But I think that's about the closest I've gotten to not being on point. You know what? No. That's a lie. I'll tell you this, but this wasn't any doing of mine. When we recorded Kurt Carr, Bless Somebody Else, I was dealing with allergies. So it's like something terrible. I had just done allergy testing. They hadn't got my vials in to start the shots, and I lost my voice. So, and I'm a soprano, and everybody knows Kurt Carr, you singing in the rafters. And so recording day, we had a full week of rehearsal where Kurt is pushing, pushing, pushing. And recording day comes, and I was supposed to have two leads and ended up having like 0.5 of a lead because I had no voice. And it was because of my allergies. I had terrible allergies. And I was so sad. I was like, he's gonna kick me out the group. And he just said, sis, go. You need to go and get whatever medicine you need because I need your voice. And that was, it went from a scary moment to I had some kind of like reassurance, because it's like, oh, okay, he doesn't hate me, but he likes me enough to want me, to take care of myself better and get what I need so that I can be in good voice when I need to be.
This next question is for Peaches. Thank you, Court. I appreciate that. This next question is directed to Peaches, but everyone can answer. Give me your top three favorite, if you can remember, crowds that you sung in front of. Like it could be a city, it could be out of the country, it could be festival. but your like your top three where you was like, oh no, this show is lit.
Oh, okay. That's a good question. The first one off the top of my head would have to be, I was in Philadelphia with Tori Kelly. I was on tour with Tori Kelly. And after the show, so there was this song that we would do at the end of the show called It Is Well that was on her gospel record. So she and the three background singers, myself included, would do it a cappella at the end of the show. So there's this one there's this one part. And I don't know why people would get so whatever about it. But it's like, you know, I'm a soprano, so I guess people like when people sing high. So there was this one part of the song where I sing It Is Well by myself, and then everybody comes in harmony. Then I go into the next part by myself and everybody comes in and then boom. And so the crowd always has such a crazy response to that every night. So after this show in particular, I will never forget it because I was so embarrassed. I didn't know, I wanted to melt into the ground. So I go outside to get on the bus, and I had friends that had come to the show. And I go outside to get on the bus, and literally it's like, it felt like 1,000 people were outside. They were waiting on Tori, naturally. But I come out and they all start screaming and chanting my name. And I was just like, oh my God. And if you know me, like, people don't ever believe me, but I really am sincerely shy. And I know I've grown out of it a lot, but a lot of anything at one time becomes very overwhelming for me. And I was extremely overwhelmed. But on the flip side, I was just like, wow, these people are really showing me so much love. I had never experienced anything like that. Like, I felt like I was almost nervous because I was like, well, I don't want Tori to feel no type of way because of the type of response and reaction they were. It was really wild. That was one I enjoyed. There was a crowd in Rio at a festival I was singing with Lana Del Rey. And they were just lit. The show started about 40 minutes late. They started singing the songs, like just preparing. I had never, it was just wild. It was about 100,000 people. That was a great crowd. You asked me three. Dang. I've had some amazing performance experiences, I can say. Anything else would probably have to be something with Sunday Service, because when it was a thing, it was a thing. And the crowds would go. Actually, it was probably the first Sunday Service we did at the Forum. That was a next level experience. The crowd, the everything was just, it was crazy. It was crazy. That was lit. It was super, super lit. So those would probably be my top three.
You just gave me another question, but if anybody else would like to answer that, top three crowds or experiences or shows that you can recall.
Chelsea, I did a concert with all deaf people one time.
See, I knew it was this was cool. About to go.
All that sniffing, it was crazy.
I just.
Mm-mm-mm. Wild times.
James White is here, y'all.
Good evening, everybody.
All that sniffing is crazy, bro.
James, hold on. I can't let you. Good evening, everybody. That's not how you come on this podcast.
You are correct. Brother.
You're correct. You can't change up on us.
Let me start over. Good evening, beloveds.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I did a midgets conference one time. It was really cool too.
Okay.
Yeah, it was only a day and a half to cut it short. I'm sorry,
James. Get yourself together.
I am so
cut it short. Actually, like, stop me in the middle of my pumping process, please.
Yeah, try to feed the baby.
Cut it short was insane.
We had a great time. What? Yeah, we had a great time. Smoking Norfolk was a musical guest.
Okay. Okay.
Great time.
All right. All right.
I sang background for them, but I was too tall to be on stage. They didn't want me to outstay them. So they stood in behind the curtain, you know, like, yeah, it was fun.
Did you say they didn't want you to outstand him?
Yeah.
Please.
So what I did was I sang Indian style, and I sang, we had a good time.
I need you to check your cellular device, sir, because you mentioned a deaf concert, and it made me think of something. I'll put it in the chat for everybody.
I'm not going to do that because your mind is bad. I know you.
No, please.
I'm pure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Those are my favorite concert experiences.
The room needs a praise and set it back aflame.
I need you, Jesus. In my life, I need your power. Jesus Christ. To live right, and I'll serve you, Lord. Serve you, Lord. Ooh, I need you, Jesus. In my life.
Okay, go ahead, Corey. I needed to set the atmosphere back in the room. There we go. We good.
I don't know if it set the atmosphere how you wanted it. That saved my life or in my life that sounded like they were being held at gunpoint to sing it. I'm not.
She's on the camera too now.
Don't want it.
She's on double duty.
I sent everybody something in the chat. If everybody would like to just take a quick second while George finds another praise break. I did send everybody, share something, because I feel like we all a family here. So I wanted to share something near and dear to my heart with you all.
We're not going to do this today.
I just hope everybody appreciates.
Are you serious?
Oh, shoot.
I just wanted to say so.
Okay. For those that don't know, that was martial arts. Stay aware for our martial arts podcast coming up in the near future. Boy.
Okay, I'm back. I'm sorry.
You are?
I'm sorry.
Man.
So three best shows. That's what it was. Yeah. Three best shows. I'm sorry. Woo. Okay. I think Ms. Blackstone was getting ready to answer. She was off mute first.
I done forgot. I have one. My favorite show that I remember was a festival in Sao Paulo in Brazil. It's just like those overseas festivals are different. And it was probably, I think it was like 80 or 90,000 people. You can't even see as far back as they are. It's like everybody on the ground. It's not a stadium. It's just crazy. And Demi would let us take solo. She was really good with like putting a spotlight on her singers. And like Chelsea sang, you sang with her for a little while too, right, Chelsea? With Demi? I think she did. But she was just really good at like putting a spotlight on her singers. And so she would give us a time to like solo. And the people would go crazy. And to have that many people as a background singer screaming your name, because they study you before you even get there, like it's crazy. Like, so they watch other videos, and like they'll even know, like if you do the same solo, they'll sing that with you. And it's a crazy feeling. That's something that I will never forget.
I'm sorry, Kaisha, I was having a hard time finding the mute button to unmute myself, but you're right. I did think I was actually filling in for Dinasha's father had just passed away, so I filled in for her for the first 2 weeks of that particular tour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask the ladies a question?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I've been doing this for give or take 20 years, but I still consider myself a baby in the game. So you were talking about, you know, the fans knowing who you are and stuff. And in recent years, it creeps me out because people will find my social medias and send me DMs and inboxes and stuff. And it literally makes my skin crawl because I am super mellow, like kind of shy. And that creeps me out. Am I the only person that feels that way when strangers be like, oh my God, and know your first, middle, and last name and where you live and what high school you went to?
Courtney, yeah, Courtney, bragging? I feel a braggadocious spirit on Courtney right now.
No, that's not a brag. I'm joking.
If you sing with the
artist that has a big following, it does transfer and it can get very scary. Like, I mean, I remember one time we were landing places and they're like on Twitter, like, we see that you guys are landing at XYZ time and we're like, what? Like, why do you know that? Like, it can get very scary.
That's creepy.
It's very weird. Yeah, it's very creepy.
The way I process it is I work with artists who have very cult-like followings. These are people who have dedicated their lives to showing their love and support for this particular person, right? So if they know everything about this person, they're going to want to know everything about every person that's attached to them. So being a part of the industry is just something in some capacity that I've always wanted to do. So I know how it feels to be a fan, not like that. Like, I'm not like a stan, like I'm like they are. However, I know how it feels to be a fan and just admire people from a distance. And I know how it feels to work on the other side. So when I know that I'm working for certain artists and they fans start following me and they start reaching out for me, I'll respond because the likelihood of them getting a response from the artist that I'm just connected to is slim to none. So if me saying hi, thank you, have a great day, can make a difference in whatever their experience is, then that don't take nothing away from me. Can it get creepy sometimes? Yeah, but if I get those vibes from people, I don't respond. But for the most part, if you could take out however many seconds of your day to tell me how amazing you think I am, then the least I can do is say thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
Now, what about like a trillion friend requests, like follows and stuff? I don't mind, but like Facebook is like personal for me. And honestly, during Tiny Death, I have gotten an influx of friend requests. And I'm like, no, I don't know you.
Have your boundaries, whatever those are, yeah. Have them and stand by them, you know, but there should also be a side of acceptance that some of this comes with the territory. You enforce whatever your boundaries are, but the attention, the desire to want to know you, the desire to be in your space, it come along with it. You're amazing. So of course people are going to want to know who you are, who you connected to. They, you know what I'm saying? It just comes with the territory.
Noted. I appreciate that.
Agreed. I mean, it's weird all the time. It's never really not weird to me. But I do respond. And a lot of times when I do respond, what really throws me is not getting the messages, but then when I respond and they respond back to me and say, oh my God, you responded. I'm like, babe, I am sitting up here in my bonnet eating popcorn with hot sauce and possibly a mixed drink. And it's very ghetto over here. And you're talking about, oh my God, you responded. I'm too regular. Like, it's okay. So yeah, but I do respond to most, you know, requests. And a lot of times when they keep like, because a lot of times when you respond the one time, you'll end up getting messages like that from anything that you post from them. And so in their head, they feel like they know you. So I've had people like literally will send me messages like, oh, how's Raya doing today? And I'd be like, okay, she's fine. She's yet screaming. It is what it is. But I know that in real life,
I can protect, like Peaches said, I have my boundaries. I can protect my kids. It is what it is. Anything on social media, yeah, I'll respond back to you. It's not a problem.
So I would just like to take this time to apologize to Peaches for stalking her for all these years. My bad. I didn't know it was that. It was like that.
Please cut it out. I'm
limit my interactions to once a month. I will start stalking DB.
He didn't say stop though. He didn't say stop. He just
said, I'm not gonna.
He said limb.
James is at the Peaches stuff that she don't know nothing about. Like, I can't believe Kobe did that. Like, what?
Yeah.
James.
I asked her for Powerball numbers and she didn't respond. And I just
took that. So confused. Lost.
Like, took that as a sign.
I don't know.
Yeah, she didn't respond. So I'm going to start stalking Dee Dee from now on. And we'll just.
Please don't do that because I actually like to fight men. So don't do that.
The only thing I want to know is just, you know, how your palate could take the popcorn, the hot sauce, and the mixed drink. Is that a phase?
I didn't even tell you the real ingredient on the popcorn, but I be going in and I eat it every day if I can, because it's my snack of choice. But yeah,
want to know what the real ingredient on her popcorn
is?
When she did not mention it, I definitely side-eyed this phone. Like, I know ain't nothing changed. So why she leave that one out? She don't want to be judged?
No. You know, I don't have no problem. I turned the whole sing-off family onto the popcorn, the hot sauce. But what I do is I sprinkle my popcorn on, and it has to be extra butter popcorn. It can't be that kettle corn. Extra butter popcorn, sprinkle Louisiana hot sauce on, shake it up, and then get whatever flavor Kool-Aid I want, sprinkle it on there, shake it up, and eat it.
Okay. That explains a lot.
So you put crack on your popcorn. Got it.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah. Wait.
You heard her.
I just want the third one. What was the third one?
Kool-Aid. Whatever Kool-Aid, flavor you got.
Whatever flavor I feel like. And see, the reason why I didn't mention the first time is because I don't have no flavor now. So I had to just eat the popcorn. Just mad about it. Definitely send Bruce a text, but yeah.
Okay. That explains a lot, actually. Thank you for that.
Oh my God.
Because I was wondering how she could hit those tenor notes so cleanly. It's the Kool-Aid.
It's whatever it takes to do the job, okay?
It's amazing. I honor that.
Wow. Hey, no judgment here.
No, I'm afraid to judge. Yeah,
that's what they say when they be judging. Yeah. No judgment here.
No, we're judging. We're judging the text. Not. No. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I do have a serious question. Since we're asking questions, I do have a serious question for the ladies. Have y'all ever backed up someone who you knew was a singer, but when you met them and got to work with them, you were surprised at how good they really were?
Ooh, yikes.
Good question.
Surprised, I would say pleasantly surprised. And that was with my first, I say this to this day. I actually said this to her recently when I said my first like paid gig was Tanya Blount, and she now has a super group with her husband. They're doing so well in the country music
realm. For King and Country, right?
Yeah. They are like amazing.
They will turn national anthem up, won't they?
Let me tell you. So like when I started to sing with her, the only thing that most people knew out from her was from Sister Act and Through the Rain, which was her single that was out. And you know, because it was very early in her career. And I didn't know, based off of those two songs, how good she was. When I got into rehearsals with this woman and this voice, this soprano crazy range came out of her mouth, I was amazed. She sings down. And that was a good surprise. Like, that was a really good surprise. I was like, oh, this is gonna be great, because she can really sing. Yeah. So that was a surprise for me. And I'm glad it worked out, and it has served her well. Like, everything that she is getting now, her flowers that she's getting, she deserves. So I love to see it.
Good question, James.
Thank you. I had that experience recently. I got to sing with Coco Jones at a Oscar party, Versace Oscar party. And I've, you know, heard her singles, and I thought they were cool, you know. But I hadn't followed her through like her Disney journey and that whole thing. So I really was not as aware of how good she was. You know what I'm saying? I really didn't know what to expect. But in the first rehearsal, and she got to sing, and I said, wait. Like, okay, wait. Like, oh, she sings for real. You know, because we know that there are girls who can sing. And then there are some girls who like, oh, you can really sing. Like, you're not just singing at the, like, you can really sing. And Coco was one who kind of caught me by surprise, because she can really sing. I don't think her singles do her much justice. You know, they're singles, and for the sake of them being commercial and sellable and that whole thing, I understand sometimes vocalists have to dial back. But she has a lot to give. Mm. She's very talented. She has a lot to give, and I was thoroughly impressed by her skill set.
I felt so bad for her this weekend.
What happened?
He was setting up the release of her new song the whole week, and as soon as she dropped her song, Drake and Kendrick started
the beef.
And it's a dope song, too. And I'm like, yo, it's like her whole weekend is destroyed now. Like, this, she did a nice roll. And it's been a minute since I've seen a good rollout for a song. It's like people are really just saying, you know, they'll tell you Thursday, midnight, I got a surprise coming. Like, you know, but she had a full rollout, like little videos and vignettes and stuff like that. And then it was like when it was time for her song to come out, these two dudes is arguing with each other, so it's like nobody can really pay attention. So hopefully, I don't know what they could do, like re-up on the promo or stuff like that, but it's a really good song. It's a really good song.
That's tough, because those are the things you can't, you know what I mean? Like, you can't foresee that happening that way, you know?
Right. That's crazy.
All right.
Oh.
I don't know if anybody else was going to answer that, so I was trying to wait it out. Sometimes you got to sprinkle some silence in there, George. You sprinkle a little bit. Sprinkle
strings or something.
Sprinkle some silence with some Kool-Aid. All right.
Here you go. I do have a follow-up to James's question. It's not the same... Well, yeah, it is, sort of, kind of. But is there a time while you were singing and whoever you were backing up did a riff, did a run, did out of this world range that you have never heard, that they never practiced, that kind of surprised and delighted you in a good way, while, like, in the moment? It wasn't rehearsal. It was, like, live on stage in the moment.
Absolutely. And I'll say this artist name because I told him to his face. We were on tour with Anthony Hamilton, and you know, people's opinion about his voice and his ability differ. And I don't remember what city we were in. We were singing Cool, and there's a part where we go out and like dance with him, and he did this crazy run, and it caught me so off guard. I literally put my mic down and said, nigga, what? Like, you act like you can actually sing today. So that's my moment.
That's dope. That's dope.
Peaches and I did a run with Chrisette Michelle one time or for a few months. And there were a few times in the shows where she would be singing and I would just be standing there like, ma'am, I mean, I understand that you're going through the things, but you're really singing like you have something to prove. She is a singer, aside from everything else. And there was one song. I always loved to sing Golden with her because Hopeless Romantic era.
What record was it again? But
Golden was really like, was really.
Oh, yes.
I was in my Hopeless Romantic era. And so everything was making me feel love and all of that. And singing Golden with her, she's always been one of my favorite gigs ever. And, you know, just off of the music alone, I just loved singing background vocals set because she had fun songs to sing. And then she could actually really, really, really sing. So you just never knew what moment was going to be what, because Chrisette's voice can do a whole lot of things that a lot of people just don't get to hear unless you come to her shows.
Yeah, people, if you haven't heard Golden by Chrisette Michelle, you can pause the podcast and go listen. It's one of her best. It's an amazing record. Amazing.
It's a beautiful song. I can say that, and that has actually happened quite a bit. You know, when you come from the gospel world, everybody can sing, and at some point, everybody's going to do something to make you go, now wait, what? You know what I mean? So I've experienced it a lot, but I've experienced this with this particular artist that I wish more people could experience it so that perhaps they could have a different perspective and understanding of her gift. And this person would be Jennifer Hudson. I feel like on shows and things like that, she gives the people what they expect from her. You know what I mean? People like her to holler. I know how the others may feel about it, but her fans, that's what they want from her. So that's what she gives them. In her shows, you get so much vocal variety that you would never typically get. And this last show I just did, because I hadn't sang with her for like a year and a half. And I just recently did something with her. And there were several moments where I just had to stop and look like, wait, okay, girl, what? Because she can really sing. She can do more than just holler. But again, the average person, unless you were able to come to one of her shows, and most of her shows are private, you know, but I wish more people could experience the layers to her vocal than just what everybody sees out regularly, because she can do so much more than that, and it is good. It's good.
Mm. Jennifer Hudson. I like her in that hosting space too. She looks very comfortable. She looks very comfortable with that talk show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right up her alley, you know. That's right up her alley. So it's working very well. And I'm super duper happy for her.
I think this is for me, my last question. I'm gonna make it lighthearted. If everyone can give me your go-to game to play either on a bus, maybe at catering before a show, or after a rehearsal, what is your go-to game?
Oh, my go-to game.
I don't
game.
Like games.
Oh, I got one for you then. My go-to game is Who Brought the Cocaine. That's my go-to game. Love that one.
I don't know if y'all are familiar with that. Are y'all familiar with Who Brought It?
No. Now, what is that?
All right, so somebody has to... So we have to get a picture and put it in the Zoom chat. Actually, hold up. I'm gonna tell you. Go ahead, Jane.
So while he's finding a photo, this is what we do. We find random photos of people, celebrities, well-known people, and we determine who in that photo brought the cocaine to that setting. It's a wonderful game. I actually introduced it to my family. We had a great time. is who brought the cocaine.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And the so good thing about it is there's no wrong answers.
Is it a group photo or is it just one photo after another? And then who?
It could be like I had a photo of like Gregory Hines or Sammy Davis Jr. And you have to determine who brought the cocaine to that situation.
My God. My God. Okay.
Can't find no good.
Yeah.
Like, or, oh, I'm fine. That's Rick James. And that's quite obvious.
That's quite obvious, right? So you have a photo of like the Mississippi Mass Choir. Like, who brought the cocaine on the bus?
Definitely the lady that led having you there. She brought it.
I mean, I was thinking like the whole alto section, but you got it.
The way she was shaking on that one, on the vamp, I just feel like she probably was. Yeah, that was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, everybody, just look at your own, look at your Zoom screen real quick.
Just look at your Zoom chat right quick.
Look at your Zoom screen real quick. And look at my profile picture and then boom. Who brought it?
Bobby.
Yeah, Bobby.
Bobby.
Oh. In the Zoom pic, I feel like Sting.
Who you said brought it?
Sting. Sting definitely brought it in the Zoom pic.
I think
I say Madonna.
Yeah. Sting brought it in the Zoom pic. Yeah,
all right, so
I feel like it's Sting. It looked like he didn't already start it. He already started the sniff. Look at his face.
Yeah, Sting got that. Lit. Y'all trying to. Yep, he got
no,
that.
No, exactly. Because where is his shirt? Why is everybody else dressed? And why and are you looked like he's sweating. And he looked like he's sweating. Mm-mm, he brought it.
Yeah.
Because Madonna is literally looking like, I just can't even believe you started the party without us. Like, how much of a lead did you have?
Mm-hmm. There it yeah. is.
So this game is great.
I mean, maybe one it's one that I'll take to the bus. I don't know, because somebody may actually pull out some for real cocaine. And then I'm going to be crying real tears, because what are we doing here?
Well, at least you know. Now you know your peers. You know. Consider it an icebreaker. There you go. So,
oh my gosh.
If Whitney was alive, Bobby Brown and Mary J. Blige had a session, who brought it?
Pablo Escobar, because that's a lot of lines. It's a lot of lines. You hear me?
No, you got
no privilege in that session at all.
You got to look through the layers on that. You said Whitney, Bobby, and Mary J. So it's kind of obvious that KC brought it. Because Mary ain't going nowhere. Bobby gonna be there? Well, I'm gonna be there too.
Wait, now who was it? It was Whitney and who else? It ain't gonna be no Whitney slander. Period. But go ahead. Whitney and who else?
Whitney,
Bobby, and Mary J.
Man,
so I said KC brought it.
Yeah, KC slipped it into Mary's purse and she the one slammed it on the table, because Whitney, I don't care. She has some things. You know, I mean, ain't gonna be no slander towards her, okay?
Sure. The sissy brought it.
Wait, what's this next picture in the chat?
Oh, no.
Is that Woody Allen?
Yes.
Woody Allen Woody, brought it.
Please, he definitely brought it.
Because first of all, Michael ain't want no parts. So.
Michael did not want no parts of that. That was definitely Woody.
Woody brought some other things too.
Woody Allen brought it and then wrapped it up in Jolly Rancher cases. So the kids.
Oh my God.
Because, you know, listen. Man?
Yeah. Keisha made a great point that he didn't get high on his own supply. Like he had an end game.
Oh gosh. So we have to we gotta do something about this game. We have to like fully get this game copyrighted because I think we could take over Uno with who brought it.
Yeah, point.
I truly do.
It's a good game, but I'll just throw that out there.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Y'all ready to do the church edition, though?
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you so much for checking out this latest episode.
I knew it was on the way. I'm just trying to see who they about to put in the chat.
Oh, you all too?
Oh. Third edition.
Give me a second.
Okay.
Give me a second.
Go ahead, James. James, Greg, we need a multiple choice. You can't just say Todd Hall. That's obvious, first of all.
Oh my God.
No, I got you.
Dee Dee, I know who brought it.
She called the Kool-Aid.
That's a testimony, right?
Who brought it, Chelsea? Who brought it?
Who does everything?
Oh.
No, I don't. I'm blaming her.
Okay, y'all got to put that one in the chat because I'm laughing and I don't even know who you're talking about.
Oh my God.
Jesus, who do we blame everything on? He definitely brought it.
Ooh, okay. Who brought it?
All right, so the caravan.
Oh, baby.
Black. I say black.
Inez.
I was going to say Inez too. It was definitely Inez.
Yeah, she got the look in her eye, Inez, because you would automatically think that it was the girl. The girl, Albertina, but it was
right.
Not. It was definitely Inez.
You're right.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh.
So I feel like sometimes she been on one of the rants. So, yeah, it was Inez.
Come on.
I agree with that.
Come on, G.
All right. And there you have it.
Oh.
But I'm about to show y'all who's the cause for just being in America, period.
Please. You know what, James? She definitely brought it though, for sure. Brought Twice. It, did it, passed it out.
Oh, girl,
man. Grew it, flew it out, broke it up.
Titty been dry.
Man. Oh man.
Who remembers that word? That word changed my life.
Changed my life. Get off my titty. Oh man, Better Coke is coming. We can do this.
Yeah. Wait. You said better.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you so much for checking out this episode of. I feel like we've done enough. We want to thank these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people that came through and blessed the show this evening. Oh, we want to thank Chelsea West. Dee Elliott, Courtney Mariah.
It's hot down here.
Takesha Blackstone.
George, check the chat. George, check the chat.
I'm just sorry. I refuse to put a picture. I refuse to put a picture into my phone. I just need y'all to know. Oh. Is the blame. Crisis in the 80s. The K2 that's happening now. That's it.
Oh my gosh.
All we're missing is the Lyric Soprano t-shirt.
You know what?
That's exactly what we're missing.
6 octave range.
Oof. Man.
Bless your heart.
I ain't gonna be rapping at these Stellar Awards, I'll tell you that. Not gonna be doing. Oof. Oh man. He's to blame for all of it. Oh my God. Whew. Thank you, ladies. We actually, you know, I'm just gonna shut this show off so we can laugh a little bit more after. Y'all done heard enough. All the advice you need. That for y'all that don't know, that's Greg's OJ Simpson impersonation of him being. Amen.
Oh, what? You know what? That is awful.
Oh my gosh.
He keeps saying it's hot down here. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Oh. I just had to add context to what he was saying.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. We are gone. We will see ya. Wait, what'd you say, Greg?
Sorry, Ron.
We'll see y'all next time. Y'all stay beautiful. Peace.